Hello, everyone, and welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation, a podcast from AIM10X dedicated to uncovering the stories behind the world's leading change agents and the most valuable learnings from our community of global innovators. I'm your host, Caleb Masters, and as always, we're here to provide you with actionable insights from today's greatest thought leaders to guide and accelerate your journeys. In today's episode, we'll be joined by Rhonda Vatiri, a two-time author, global STEM ambassador, and top woman in technology with experience at companies including Estee Lauder, Herbalife Nutrition, and JP Morgan Chase, among many others. We'll start by talking about her career journey to becoming one of the most powerful women in technology, including her work as a global STEM ambassador and triathlete. And then we'll cover how IT leaders can position themselves as strategic business partners by working with teams cross-functionally to generate top-line revenue. And then we'll close out the conversation by diving into Rhonda's perspective on building high-performance teams and developing processes prepared for emerging technologies. Without further ado, let's get to know a little bit more about today's very special guest, Rhonda Vatiri. Rhonda is a seasoned C-suite executive and passionate global leader in technology, and she was recognized as one of the most powerful women in technology by the National Diversity Council in 2019 and 2020 due to her CIO and CTO leadership roles at previous Estee Lauder and Herbalife Nutrition companies. She is a Most Influential Businesswoman in Technology 2023, and was most recently awarded the distinction as a 2023 Woman Breaking Through the Glass Ceiling by CIO Media. Currently, she's the CEO and runs her own consultancy advising companies on organizational behavior, growth strategy, digital transformation, crisis management, and M&A. Rhonda continues to be on a mission to empower and inspire others through sports and STEAM, that is science, technology, engineering, arts, math, and medical. And in October of 2022, Rhonda was inducted in India as the Global STEM Ambassador by the Meghalaya Chief Minister, along with the dignitaries and Chancellor of University of Sciences and Technology Meghalaya. She also serves on the Lazarus Sports for Good USA Board of Directors and is passionate about bringing awareness to STEM through sports. Rhonda, it's a pleasure to have you today. Welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Rhonda, I've been greatly looking forward to our conversation. And the topic at hand we'll get into here in a little bit is transforming the role of CIOs and CTOs from order takers to strategic partners. But before we do, I want to learn a little bit more about your story. What exactly brought you to a career in technology?
I fell into technology. I've worked my whole life since 12, and my first job out of college and during college, actually, was running cables in a data center. So I was running cables, punching them down, and just that's my tech. And I was so fascinated by the innovation, creativity, and pivoting in the fast pace that I continued throughout my career in technology.
Very exciting. And I imagine being a woman working in the field of technology, there's been probably some challenges. What was it like working your way up from that perspective?
You know, back then, it wasn't so prevalent. It was all about performance. So I had a lot of great sponsors along the way, but it was all about hard work and making sure you're actually performing with the metrics, your key performance indicators. And obviously, there weren't many women. So when I walked in the room, I didn't think about it. I was just all about, I still am about performance. But looking back on it, I'm happy to help pave the way for young women. And this was before when the Blackberries were coming out. Girls with Code, I was coding circuits, literally for one of the telco companies. And that was fun. Actually, coding circuits, can you believe it? So starting off in that, and it was behind the scenes. So it wasn't very prevalent, but always had a leadership role and just shot my way through performance.
Yeah, again, so focusing on the business results really was a key enabler.
Yes.
What would you say has been perhaps one of the biggest challenges you faced throughout your career overall?
I would say just the travel and challenging being on the road almost 300 days a year and the balance. So that's been a lot. And doing digital transformations in less than 2 years, the speed just to make sure we're turning companies around and the velocity and keeping up with that. And I think leading a team's important, and I could keep up with it because I parallel path my corporate athlete doing triathlon. So I'm used to speed and fast pace and cadence and innovation. So I just lead others like that as well.
And one thing that I really love about you is that you're leading by example. In fact, you had just mentioned before we got on a call, you just finished a competition. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I just got back from Finland, outside of Helsinki, the 70.3 Ironman World Championship, and representing the United States in my age group. I'm honored to have been at the Ironman Championship. So 115 countries were represented, and I was carrying the American flag for the Parade of Nations, which is dear to my heart. I have a huge veteran connection with my dad and some of my friends, and I believe in giving back.
Well, incredible. Congratulations on your success, and thank you for racing on the behalf of all of us here in the United States, at least.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to do it and bring awareness through STEM through sports.
Could you elaborate on that a little more? When you talk about bring awareness for STEM through sports, in your mind, how are those two connected, and how do you incorporate that into your message?
Science, technology, engineering, and math with an A for arts, STEAM, STEM through sports. I am on a mission through sports because sports is a universal language. You could speak through sports. It's about teamwork, discipline, goals, pivoting, cadence, innovation, and Ironman. Everything's thrown at you. You have to be prepared. So through sports, I'm speaking to all generations, everyone around the world. You can do anything, and leading by example, pushing myself. I push myself in the boardroom and results for business outcomes. But through sports, the parallel paths are so synchronized that in the sports acumen in the business world, you have to have these traits to be successful for business outcomes, just like a race acumen. I communicate that way, saying you can do anything. I'm out there leading by example, doing it. And I'm an athlete at heart, so I bring that to companies. The mindset is there as well, which I think makes a big difference on the mindset on how you lead in teamwork. So that's how I communicate through sports and STEM and bring them together. And I'm not just out there racing to race. There's a mission. I'm very intentional. There's a purpose behind every race that I'm doing to raise awareness for a cause and through technology. I'm all about STEM through sports.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I think it also sort of breaks the mold for what types of individuals could be a part of STEM, right? For example, yes. I know that there's a lot of cliches about people who work in technology, and this is just another avenue for you to break through and say, hey, no, athletes, you can do this too. There's an avenue and path forward here for you.
That's a great point, Caleb. Yes, we used to be known, you talked about pushing through as brainiacs, sitting in a room way back when and not being able to communicate in this field. And I just want to help break the mold, not just as a woman, but also as an athlete, to show every gender, every diversity of thought that you can be in technology. And it's cool.
Again, you've already noted, it's very clear you're a huge advocate for STEM, representing STEM globally. Why are you so invested in these programs? And maybe you could elaborate more on how you're continuing to support the up and coming talent through these STEM programs.
Absolutely. There's a hospital in India that I'm involved in from a global STEM ambassador. They're building a school for people that can't afford college. So I'm very invested to get funds there through STEM and for different geographies, because all the cultures should be involved in science, technology, engineering, and math. And the next generation often doesn't have the funds that they need. So I'm very focused on helping them do that as a global ambassador. In addition, I'm also focused on, I came out with a fashion line with Sava USA to have all the proceeds for my section. I make no money off of this, but again, for awareness to the next generation, that STEM is cool. You can be comfortable. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. That was a big topic. What do you wear? You know, in corporations now, it's very relaxed after COVID. Let's just say that. And also running. I give back from running in South Africa. I'm going in a couple weeks to run the Cape Town Marathon, and I'm running with Alana Meyer, Zola Budd, some Olympians to raise awareness for girls through a foundation there that cannot afford a school as well. So I'm very connected to globally the causes that make a difference in the next generation. And I'm very passionate about it because when I was growing up, I didn't have a role model in this field. There weren't any. This was a cutting edge. This was before Girls with Code. I continue to hopefully help others and inspire others to get into the field, that it's fun, it's cool, and help them get the means that they need for this role as well, for everything they need.
Well, there's certainly going to be no shortage of demand for that sort of talent as we're seeing today through a variety of digital transformations. And again, really appreciate you continuing to just showcase how to break the mold, how to break through the barriers, and how to really rebrand or rethink what working in code or working at STEM looks like.
Thank you.
Well, I want to pivot here. I mean, you've had a prolific career, as we already noted. What would you say throughout your career is one of your proudest achievements?
The Bank One JP Morgan Chase merger is one of my proudest achievements. And then also the transformation of all the technology stack through Estee Lauder, through 30 plus brands.
Wow, that's incredible. And maybe you could elaborate here for me exactly what about those challenges? Maybe you could start with the first one with Chase. What would you exactly would you say really set that apart as a unique challenge?
The Bank One JP Morgan Chase was speed, blending the two cultures, figuring out which technology stack. Each company brought different technologies, tools. So you had to go down buy, hold, sell list on what we were going to go forward with, get all the lines of businesses together, retail, corporate internet group, finance, investment bank. It's not just one division. Technology span the enterprise. So getting all the stakeholders on board. Same with Estee Lauder, 30 plus brands. What do you want to do for the enterprise backbone from a data insights perspective to actually network outages, making sure we had connectivity, making sure our supply chain was running smoothly, getting all the stakeholders involved. And the change management aspect was challenging for both of them. But I love to talk about change management because that sets the difference.
Very cool. And of course, change management being a huge, huge, huge piece there when you're bringing multiple cultures together to overcome a very specific challenge. In terms of your skill set, what would you say was the key to your success in those ventures?
Communication, transparency, attention to detail, and making sure I had a scorecard for how we were doing and being very transparent to the company, to the board, to all stakeholders.
Very cool. So communication and, you know, all along with transparency, you have that accountability with the scorecard. Now, I want to turn things a little more towards our topic today. You recently were featured in a CIO.com article covering the rapidly evolving role of technology leaders, a shift from having more of a niche focus on technology to becoming more of a critical business enabler. Again, CIOs not historically known necessarily for being the ones who are driving business strategy per se. But as we consider the emerging technologies like generative AI, for example, what do you see as the most important opportunity for IT leaders in the current marketplace?
From an IT leader perspective, ensure that you have a seat at the table. Make sure that you have it. Get out of the order taking mode and be a strategic business partner. And have the line of business come to you and have a two in the box that you can think. You can do design thinking together and that you're not just, oh, I need this and it's an order taker to help supply chain or a brand or to a feature on a website. Understand the business outcome and be together on the business case.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, have the business coming to you. And maybe you could elaborate here for me. We're talking about the timeliness, right? Because you say have a seat at the table. Well, obviously, in a lot of organizations, that's going to require some work to get there. And there is a lot of timing in terms of like strategy for doing that. Why would you say right now is such a critical time for IT leaders to be looking to make a big impact, not only on their own business, but on the larger marketplace?
Everything has shifted with technologies. It's going to become, I mean, you don't want to become obsolete. Time is of the essence, cost cutting, how you do things more efficiently. And you need that seat at the table so you can be in the room to make decisions and bring your point of view. It's very, very important.
If you're not at the table, other people are going to be making decisions about how technology should be implemented. Maybe you could elaborate here for me. How have you used technology initiatives to transform IT into that more strategic role in your career?
To make sure you're working with the business on innovation, coming out with a new product. So I think that that's key, whether it's a new gadget, the consumer journey, how a consumer comes in to a store end to end is very important from a wellness perspective, from a fitness perspective. What application do you want to work out? Those are the things that you give feedback to that you're involved in, not just writing code or popping up an application. It's a two in the box. And I'm very, very passionate about that because often everyone throws things over to technology and that's not the way it works. You need to flip it on the dime and both have accountability in the business outcome.
Yeah, certainly. Launching a new product, how did you position yourself as an IT technology leader in order to partner with product?
I said to the leadership, I want to learn. Leading this team of technologists, we need to have a seat at the table because the team was getting frustrated. Oh my gosh, we need this in 48 hours. Well, what is this? We knew nothing about it. What is this product? We want to do online banking and you just want to send something to us? It's being the advocate for your team and saying, before you sign off on the business case, you need to come to us with feedback and we sit there and help you end to end, not just at the tail end.
Now, when you think about emerging tools in tech, we're here talking about digital transformations today. You've done a number of successful throughout your career. How should today's IT leaders be embracing emerging tools and the wealth of new data? That's a really big one that's available to bring top line revenue generating initiatives to the table.
Well, I would say first off, don't go after the most shiny object at the time. Carve out a budget and a team that's focused on innovation and looking at the new tools so that everyone doesn't get overwhelmed. Number one, learn that. What's the return on investment is very key. Ask that, pressure test it. Because everyone, there's so many tools out there, you can become overwhelmed. And once you make a decision on a platform, go with it. Don't look back. Unless there's a big major problems, obviously.
Sticking with it is a big part of that as well. Hey, if we don't get ROI in 6 months, 12 months, how long should organizations or IT leaders really push that adoption to ensure the digital transformation stick?
Well, you usually have to invest and reinvest to get the efficiencies. So that's a big mental shift as well, educating the board of directors on how much you need to invest to get the rate on return. So we can't miss that step. That's very, very important for IT leaders to be able to communicate that in a business acumen, financial acumen that anyone can understand when you bring through a business case. So don't lose sight of that as well when you're going through your transformation. Depends on the company, on how quickly you can move, but you should be measuring it every quarter and at least 6 months is critical, a year is critical. And if something's not going right with your partner, you might call it a vendor. If you call it a vendor, I would encourage you why. They should be a strategic advisor, which is a whole other topic and podcast within itself. Then you actually know that if you're calling them a vendor, you're not in there for the long term.
I do want to dig a little deeper on that. Why would you say it's so important to look at this as your technology partners as partnerships and less as transactional vendors?
Well, my heart is not transactional. I don't lead like that. So you need to be strategic in life and in business, and you need people with you along your journey. Team members, you should look at them as a part of your team and treat them as such. So everyone needs to be treated with respect and not a transactional, task-oriented perspective. So bring everyone along the journey, and you'll get more out of that as well, building one team camaraderie. When I hear people say vendors versus strategic advisor, I always dig on that.
Earlier, you mentioned communication and transparency being a really key part of successful digital transformations. And we were talking about more on it from an internal perspective, but why would you say that's just as important to consider when you're working with strategic partnerships?
If you don't communicate with your partners, how can they, and your key performance indicators, what you're trying to do, no one's going to succeed. When I go into companies, I always hear from, in the past, partners and still do to this day, no one ever communicated that to me. We didn't know what your company was about. We didn't understand what you're trying to do. Well, how can you be on the journey? What's the goal line if we're not rolling to the same goal? So it's very, very critical. If you can't communicate, you should not be in a CIO, CTO role.
Again, it's just as important to consider communicating with your external partners as you are internally to have that successful both change management, but ultimately digital transformation.
I treat them both the same.
Well said. I want to dig into a recent CNBC survey that came out stating that 47% of top technology officers across the economy, and that encompasses both chief information security officers and chief technology officers, they're saying that artificial intelligence is their number one budget item over the next year. So bring it into much more timely topic as we think about emerging technologies. Generative AI is a tech that even just 5 years ago would have perhaps even been unimaginable, at least as we're seeing it done and utilized today in 2023. Why is it so important for CIOs and CTOs to prepare for such large leaps in technology by fostering that agile and adaptable culture within their teams?
It's great. I've been on Fox and Friends twice now talking about AI back in May. This is a prevalent topic. It's also a buzzword, right? Cloud used to be a buzzword. Digital transformation was a buzzword. AI is a buzzword. So I always say reverse engineer. A lot of folks are afraid of artificial intelligence. That's because they don't know. So take a class on it, get with a right source. Artificial intelligence is here. It's here to stay. It's efficiencies. Yes, it's going to impact jobs, but we will be upskilling the labor market to work on higher skilled, knowledge-based jobs. And I'm very passionate about this topic. Also, from a regulatory and compliance perspective, that CIOs, CTOs need to understand what AI means for your business. Let me rephrase that. For your business, everyone can be using AI differently. I'm not talking about ChatGPT. I'm talking about how you utilize it in supply chain. Every company's different. every culture DNA is different. Every company chooses different technologies. So there's not one of the same. So educate yourself. Very passionate about it. I encourage anyone that wants to talk about regulatory compliance. My door is open on LinkedIn about artificial intelligence, but embrace it. Be passionate about it. And educate your legal compliance and your business stakeholders on what AI is and how you want to use it for your company to drive what efficiencies. For what, when they say line item, budget line item for what? Is it in technology? Is it in legal? Is it in compliance? Is it in a line of business? You know, I would dive deep into go, what are you doing end to end with AI?
When we think about new applications such as AI, how should IT leaders approach scaling these new applications and new technologies responsibly in order to achieve those bottom line results?
What are the guardrails? Again, what is the rate of return? What are you trying to do? What's the business case? There's no secret sauce here. You need to understand what your business outcomes are and reverse engineer.
Well, the last thing I want to hit on with you today, especially as we're thinking about the evolving role of CIOs and CTOs, you mentioned Teams being a big part of your career earlier. You also talked about STEM. So from your perspective, why is it important for leaders to support their teams with upskilling and reskilling opportunities to ensure that their people are equipped for today's quickly changing technology environments?
Well, that's the role of the leader. I mean, I'm a servant leader and always carve out a budget line item for certifications to upskill the team. Always, they should be in an iterative cycle. That's just human beings. We love to learn. That's our mindset. And you need to invest in your employees. If you don't invest in the employees as a team, they're going to leave. And the number one reason why employees leave is they're a bad manager. You can't lose sight of that. So it's very important to reinvest in the whole company across every division, not just in technology. Big proponent of that. A lot of leaders do not do that enough.
Investing in your people is really going to help with the retention, and especially as you think about a lot of areas where there are either skills gaps or talent gaps. Upskilling is going to be really essential to employee happiness and retention, but the bottom line of the business, right?
Exactly. I mean, happiness drives results. No one wants to work for someone that's not helping you in your career either.
Certainly. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about your perspective and your story here. I mean, how have you built teams to address digital transformations throughout your career? And what did that process look like?
Well, it's a diversity of thought. I believe that every country and region should be represented. It's not a one-way U.S. driven. It's all about the global impact and getting a diversity of thought to complete the digital transformation.
How have you motivated your teams and really fostered that mindset of innovation, agile mindset, and foster that culture that says, hey, lean in and become a better business partner to achieve business outcomes?
Oh, I'm so passionate about it, not just through sports, leading by example, but also team calls, showing everyone the same metrics outside and externally and internally. I think that's important. It fosters transparency and collaboration and what the end goal is and our mark on how we're getting there. It's very important. No one should think, oh, I don't know why I'm here every day. I don't know what I'm contributing to. So it's really, really basic communication that folks are missing.
Bring it all the way back to that communication and transparency item that you mentioned at the very top of the conversation. Well, hey, Rhonda, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you about the transforming role of CIOs and CTOs in today's marketplace. To close us out, perhaps especially for our listeners who are working in IT and their leading teams, what parting words of wisdom or closing thoughts would you like to share with them related to leveraging this unique time and technology to gain influence within the organization?
Make sure you're educating yourself, pushing the status quo. If you don't agree with something or not happy in your job, do something about it and find a mentor outside of your workplace.
Great. Next steps, listeners. I think you've got some homework there. Rhonda Vettieri, thank you so much for joining us on Masters of Digital Transformation today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning into today's episode featuring Rhonda Vettieri. To keep up with more episodes of Masters of Digital Transformation, please head on over to your preferred podcast app and give us a follow and a subscribe, as well as a rating and a review if you enjoyed the show. And those are most notable at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you can go wherever your podcasts are found. You can also learn more about the activities and learning opportunities available through the AIM10X Innovators Network by following O9 Solutions on LinkedIn. To close out today's conversation, Rhonda's perspective on STEM echoed a quote from the great Mae Jemison, a former NASA astronaut, engineer, physician, and also the first black woman to travel into space. She said, "We have the opportunity to create the future and decide what that's like." Thank you so much for joining us. In our next episode, I'll be speaking with the former member of the Novartis Executive Committee as the head of Customer and Technology Solutions, Robert Weltevreden, about one of the most essential components of digital transformation, which is making sure it sticks within the company culture and processes. Don't miss it. We'll catch you again next time.